So within the context of Kriyat Shema, the issue is Kavana. Do we require Kavana in Kriyat Shema? And if so, which Kavana do we require? The concept of Kavana with regard to mitzvahs in general is a universal issue, whether mitzvahs Tzrichas Kavana or mitzvahs Ein Tzrichas Kavana. How the Rambam paskins on that issue is a subject of great debate ad hayom hazeh. What the Rav wants to address here in this piece is a machlokus between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. The Gemara tells us at the beginning of the second parak of Brachos. You see that on the fifth line in this paragraph, the Rav quotes a sugya on Brachos Daf Yud Gimel. Shma mina mitzvahs triches kavana. The Mishnah says that if he was reading the Torah, and he came to the sections of Kriyat Shema, just at the Zman of Kriyat Shema, he was reading the Torah, he wasn't really reading it because of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So the Mishnah says, im kivein libo yotza. Only if he has kavana is he yotze. And the Gemara thinks that that should prove to us that mitzvah tzrichas kavana. That's going to be a kash on the sheet of Rava in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, that Taka Lashir, if he blows the shofar Rosh Hashanah just for musical enjoyment, and don't ask me why he chose the shofar for that, yotza. And the Gemara says that kafu lechol matzah, if they force him to eat matzah, yotza, according to Rava. So how is Rava, who holds mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana universally, how's he going to explain the Mishnah that says that if he was reading and he got up to Kriyat Shema, he's only yotze on the condition that he had kavana? And the Gemara answers two words. And those two words are going to preoccupy the minds of the Rishonim, and it's going to be live. Bekore lahagia, which literally means he's reading in order to fix up the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara seems to say that since he's kore lahagia, and he doesn't have kavana for the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, therefore he's not yotze. He has to have kavana l'shem mitzvahs Kriyat Shema. Now, if you turn to Chof Ches, the Rav mentions that many Rishonim hold that kavana in Kriyat Shema is a separate din. This is going to be, if you see footnote number 52, the sheet of the Rashba, that the requirement of kavana in Kriyat Shema is a unique one. And it doesn't come under the universal question of mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Why is Kriyat Shema different? And how is it different than any other mitzvah? So the Rashba points out that with regard to any other mitzvah, your definition of kavana is kavana lotzes. Meaning you have a chovas gavra, and you have to have kavana to fulfill that chovas gavra. With regard to Kriyat Shema, the kavana which is absolutely indispensable is not the kavana lotzes, but rather the kavana of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. That is the essence of the requirement of kavana. And therefore, if I hold that in general, regarding to any other mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, I would still insist that with regard to Kriyat Shema, I must have kavana. But which kavana is absolutely indispensable? Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And if you take a look at the Rashba's language, it's very fascinating that the Rashba even says this. He says, "Ein adavar hazeh toli beidach," in the general halach of mitzvah tzrichas kavana. The Hasam says the Rashba, "The kavana lotzes hadvar mamurim." The requirement of kavana is lotzes. You have to have kavana to fulfill your obligation. Aval kan. But here with regard to Kriyat Shema, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about kavana lotzes. We're talking about kavanas ha'inyon. What does that mean, kavanas ha'inyon? The Rashba himself explains. Klomar, shelo yahara bidvarim acherim. He shouldn't be distracted by other thoughts, but rather, kidei, he should focus all his thoughts, sheyikabel o malchus shamayim baskamas ha'lev. And that, says the Rashba, is the kavana that's absolutely required for the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. The Shita Mekubetzes in Brachos Yud Gimel says the same idea. He says that there are shlosha dini kavana. There's one din kavana of Kriyat Shema l'chud, and that has nothing to do with other mitzvahs, where the kavana is lotzeis. And here in Kriyat Shema, the kavana is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. The Rav identifies the Rambam with that particular shita, and therefore he holds that even if you were to say that mitzvahs einam tzrichas kavana, in Kriyat Shema you require kavana. Here, the Rav quotes the Rambam in the second paragraph on your page Chav Ches, in Peret Beis Milchus Kriyat Shema Alocha Aleph. And the Rambam says that he has to have kavana in the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael. Without that kavana, he's not yotze. So the Rav asks a very fundamental question. Mimonavshach. If the Rambam holds mitzvah tzrichas kavana, which some Rishonim insist that he does, then you should require kavana in all three parshiyos of Kriyat Shema. How can you get away with kavana in the first pasuk? Every single part of the first three parshas as an entity is required for the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. If, on the other hand, the Rambam paskins mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana in general, which many of the mefarshim insist, because the Rambam has taka l'shir yatza, and the Rambam holds that kafu lechol matzah yatza, then why does he require Kriyat Shema in the first pasuk? So the Rav says you must insist that the Rambam, like the Rashba, like the Shita Mekubetzus holds, that the halacha of Kavana in Kriyat Shema, that requirement is unique to Kriyat Shema. We're not talking about the universal application of Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana. And therefore, even if I grant you that Mitzvah ain't Tzrichas Kavana, and the proof is because 90% of Kriyat Shema, the Rambam says, doesn't require Kavana. Nevertheless, the first pasuk requires Kavana because it contains within it what the Rav classifies as a chalos kabbalas ol malchus shemayim. Through the yichud of Hashem, the oneness of God, that generates a kabbalas ol malchus shemayim. What's korei lahagia? What does it mean that if he's korei lahagia, the Mishnah says he's not yotze, unless, right? So the Rav says korei lahagia, according to the Rambam, is not mitzvahs. It's not a mitzvah below kavana, meaning korei lahagia is not someone who's lacking the kavana latzeis, and that's why he's not yotze, because the Rambam holds mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, but rather korei lahagia means that he's not reading it properly. He's a misasek. What does a misasek mean? Okay, so here we have to get to definitions. Misasek means, and this you'll see on the bottom of page Chav Ches, going on to the top of page Chav Tes, misasek is someone who's not even aware of the action that he's performing. He thinks he's doing X, and inadvertently he does Y. In that case, he's not considered a kore. He's lacking in the very act of kriya, because what does he think he's doing? He's being magia the sefer. And therefore, he's not having kavana for the act of kriya. That's called misasek. And here, if you take a look on page Chav Tes, and we'll read a little bit inside in the second paragraph, the Rav says the following. Nehi debekriyat shma nemar halacha miyuchedet shel kavana. Even if I grant you that in kriyat shma there's a unique requirement of kavana, but Torah's kabbalas ol malchus shamayim, says the Rav, I still don't understand what's going on. Because why should this mitzvah be any different than any other mitzvah? In other words, you want to add to the mitzvah another requirement. In addition to kavana that applies universally, you want to add on to boot the special unique kavana of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. But that's only in addition to the classical kavana latzeis. So the Rav asks the following question. If the Rambam is only excluding a case of misasek, that means, other than that, if he has kavana for the Maisa Kriya, then he's yotze as long as he has Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim in what? In the first pasuk. So the Rav says, well, what are we going to do according to all those commentaries, later commentaries, who understand that according to the Rambam mitzvos, tzrichos kavana? In other words, you can't drop the ball on mitzvos tzrichos kavana as a universal concept, that you need kavana latzeis, and say that in Kriyat Shema, you don't need kavana latzeis. If you want to claim that Kriyat Shema is unique, it's the exception to the rule, say that on top of the general requirements of kavana in all mitzvahs, Kriyat Shema has its own additional unique requirement, namely Kabbalah is all Malchus Shemayim. But to undermine the basic fundamental requirement that's universal for all mitzvahs, namely that you need kavana lattes, why should we do such a thing? Again, if you'll insist that the Rambam holds mitzvahs ein tzrichus kavana in general, then you're okay. The problem is that there is a Rambam, more than one Rambam, but certainly one Rambam in Hilchos Shofar, which seems to imply the mitzvah tzrichus kavana. Okay, Reb Chaim has a whole other take on that Rambam, and that's footnote number 56. But be that as it may, let's turn for a moment to page Lamed. Here on Lamed, the Rav presents what I call a bombshell. He drops a bomb, a revolution of sorts. He says the following, that why do we hold mitzvah striches kavana in all mitzvahs? And perhaps the Rambam accepts that shita. What is this requirement of kavana lotzis? Now, to explain the Rav, I think we should just give a background. Every mitzvah is comprised of two parts. The Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyuma mitzvah. Okay. Generally speaking, the Maisa mitzvah is identical with the Kiyuma mitzvah. If I implement the Maisa mitzvah, and that mitzvah it relates to me, I'm Yotze the mitzvah. Some cases, and this goes way beyond the purview of our discussion, the Maisa mitzvah is separate from the Kiyuma mitzvah. But every mitzvah divides into two dimensions. Now, where is the halacha? Where is the requirement of kavana lotzis? If you hold mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Is it A, in the Maisa mitzvah? Or B, in the Kiyuma mitzvah? Let me explain. There are two ways of understanding mitzvah tzrichas kavana. One is to say, look, I took the lulav, I heard the shofar blowing, the Maisa mitzvah is perfect, but how can I claim that I fulfilled the will of Almighty God if I didn't have the intention to do so? Kavana lotzes. There, we postulate kavana as a condition in the Kiyuma mitzvah. But says the Rav, there's another way of understanding the requirement of kavana. Kavana is a prerequisite in a Maisa mitzvah. Again, you have to be a little bit of a brisker to understand this on an abstract level. Says the Rav, the Maisa mitzvah is not a physical act. It's not something that you see with your naked eye, and that's it. No. Every action, insofar as it's a daily mundane action, is bereft of the status of a Maisa mitzvah. You need to pump it up. How do you pump it up? How do you upgrade it to the status of a Maisa mitzvah? According to the Mandiyom Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, you need Kavana for that. Without Kavana, if I'm not involved, if I'm not motivated to implement this action for the sake of a fulfillment of the will of God, then it's a secular mundane action. It's not a Maisa mitzvah. Do you understand? There's a Torah's Maisa mitzvah. And to upgrade the mitzvah and gain the status of a bona fide Maisa mitzvah al pidin, I need kavana.
So the definition of Maisa mitzvah is it needs tzrichas kavana.
Correct. And without kavana, it's not called a Maisa mitzvah. So the absence of kavana is mafkia, the shame Maisa mitzvah. Ah. Says the Rav, I have a perfect proof that the requirement of kavana in mitzvahs is in the Maisa mitzvah. How does he prove it? From a sugya in Erevin. And this you'll see on page Lamed Aleph. We're going back a little bit to Lamed Aleph. And it's number one in your page. This is sugya in Erevin Tzadivah. The name of that sugya is not really Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, but rather Bal Tosef. That's really the essence of the sugya. But the Gemara introduces Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana as an important element in that sugya. So let's just go over the sugya. A man has two pairs of tefillin in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, and the Mitzvah Shmiras tefillin requires that he bring them into his house. But the problem is, by taking these pairs of tefillin from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, he violates the Iser Malacha of what? Of Hotza, of Achnasa, whatever it is. So how does he obviate, how does he circumvent the Malacha's Hotza? He wears the tefillin. There's no prohibition of wearing tefillin on Shabbos, at least according to the sugya. But the question here is, when he wears the tefillin, is he yotze the mitzvah of tefillin? Let's assume that since Shabbos is called an os, right, and therefore Shabbos is not the time of tefillin, he's not yotze the mitzvah of tefillin. Good. So even though he's not yotze the mitzvah of tefillin, oddly enough, the Gemara presumes that he's not carrying the tefillin when he wears them. It's called a malbush. Okay, so we circumvent the Isur of Hogzah. But now the question is, how many times does he have to go back and forth for these two pairs of tefillin? Can he wear both pairs of tefillin at the same time? And the Gemara says that's an issue of what? Of Baal Tosef. And the Gemara records a machlokas tanoim as to whether or not he has to go back and forth carrying, or as it were, wearing the tefillin one pair at a time, or he can wear both pairs at the time. The Man D'Amru says that he can wear both pairs at a time. The Gemara identifies with the shita of mitzvos, tzrichos, kavana. So he can only be yotze the mitzvah with kavana. He doesn't have kavana lotzeis. He's only doing this as a vehicle, as a means to carry the tefillin. And therefore, since mitzvah tzrichos kavana, there's no aver of what? Of Baal Tosef. There's no Baal Tosef. Because this is not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah because he doesn't have kavana, l'shem mitzvah. But if on the other hand I hold mitzvahs, ein tzrichos kavana, then I have a mitzvah in each pair of tefillin. I'm wearing two pair of tefillin simultaneously. I violate Baal Tosef. So just keep in mind, it's a little bit paradoxical, because the kula of mitzvahs ein tzrichos kavana leads to the chumrah of the violation of Baal Tosef. And on the flip side of it, the chumrah of mitzvah tzrichos kavana leads to the kula that I can wear both pairs of tefillin and I don't violate Baal Tosef. So the Rav asks the following question. I don't understand. Who cares, one way or the other, whether mitzvah tzrichos kavana or ain't tzrichos kavana? It just simply doesn't make any sense. The issue of Baal Tosef should be defined by a person who's interested in adding to the Torah. He's being mosif to the Torah. Clearly, in either case, whether the old mitzvah tzrichos kavana or ain't tzrichos kavana, he's not in the least bit interested in adding to the Torah. If there's an issue about Tosef, it must be that whenever a person does a maisa mitzvah in such a way that he adds to the mitzvah, that itself constitutes a violation of Baal Tosef. So if the Gemara vacillates back and forth as to whether or not he has to wear one pair of tefillin at a time, or he can wear both pairs of tefillin, apparently the Gemara is asking, is this an act of wearing tefillin? Is it a maisa mitzvah? And if you double over two tefillin simultaneously, therefore it's a violation of Baal Tosef by virtue of the maisa mitzvah. And the Gemara says, is it a maisa mitzvah or is it not a maisa mitzvah? The Gemara says it depends whether mitzvah tzrichos kavana or ain't tzrichos kavana. Says the Rav, you see from this sugya that the requirement of kavana is in the maisa mitzvah. And therefore, if I hold mitzvah tzrichos kavana, this is not called a maisa mitzvah wearing tefillin. What should I say? It's like wearing tefillin on my feet. And if it's not a maisa of wearing tefillin, it's not a maisa mitzvah, then there's no Baal Tosef. So again, if I hold mitzvahs, ein tzrichos kavana, I can generate a maisa mitzvah, we'll call it spontaneously, self-generation, right? Spontaneous generation. I don't need kavana to generate a maisa mitzvah. And therefore, if I'm wearing two pairs of tefillin simultaneously, I violate Baal Tosef. It's a maisa mitzvah. If on the other hand, I require kavana to mitzvah, and I'm not yotze without it, kavana is a tnai, is a condition in the maisa mitzvah. Without kavana, lack kavana, there's no maisa mitzvah. If there's no maisa mitzvah, then there's no violation of Baal Tosef. And here the Rav presents his revolution. Take a look again on Lamed Beis. Says the Rav, there's a limit to the machlokes about mitzvah tzrichas kavana or ain't tzrichas kavana. Mitzvah tzrichas kavana or ain't tzrichas kavana only applies, the whole issue arises, when you need a maisa mitzvah. In order to generate, to set up a maisa mitzvah, according to one day, you need kavana. But says the Rav, there are certain mitzvahs that don't require a maisa mitzvah, and therefore don't require kavana in order to set up the mitzvah. Look at the examples that he gives on the top of Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis, Kaminyan Lev, because I think the Lev is at the heart of all the mitzvahs that he's talking about here. And what is he talking about? Number one, the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Number two, the mitzvah of Emunah Hashem. Or Yiras Shamayim. All these mitzvahs are mitzvahs which don't require kavanah. Imagine, Rabbosai, you see something beautiful. You know, the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah describes how a person comes to Avas Hashem when he sees the wonder of the world. You know, God's creative power. So imagine if I sit there and I have to say, ooh, Hinini muchanu mezumen l'kayim mitzvahs asei k'mo shekosu v'tor v'haftas Hashem alokecha. No, that doesn't sound right. Even for those who say hinini muchans, I mean, they know the view that was supposed to. But even, says the Rav, there you don't need kavana l'shem mitzvah to generate a ma'isa mitzvah. I don't have to pump up the ma'isa mitzvah in order to upgrade it to the status of a ma'isa mitzvah. The very fact that I'm involved. I'm rendezvousing with the Almighty in an experience, a rapture of love of Avas Hashem. That itself is a ma'aseh mitzvah. I don't have to add some sort of hinini muchan u'mezumon with a kavana l'shem mitzvah. Says the Rav, v'gam kabolas ol malchus shamayim b'kriyat shma v'chayotzi behen ein kiyuma zokuk l'kavana acheres. There's no need in order to fulfill this mitzvah, to add another kavana, oh, hinini muchan l'shem mitzvah. You don't need that. Yesh kan ma'isa mitzvah afin eino miskavin lotzeis. Ah, those are words. These last words are, what should I say, music to my ears. Let's read it again. Yesh kan ma'isa mitzvah afin eino miskavin lotzeis. Normally I need kavana, according to this man yomer, in order to generate a ma'isa mitzvah. But in the case of a mitzvah, the essence of which is an emotional state of being, an intellectual kabbalas ol malchus shamayim, in such a case the mitzvah, the ma'isa mitzvah, is meaningful unto itself. There's no need to go through an extraneous process of saying, yeah, I'm doing this l'shem mitzvah. Says the Rav, atzma shel kabbalas ol malchus shamayim, the essence of the experience of kabbalas ol malchus shamayim itself, inherently, mechadesh es ma'isa ha-mitzvah v'chaloso. It generates the status of a ma'isa mitzvah. It's not a secular mundane act that has to be elevated and granted the status. You don't have to pump it up with the oil. You know, you go to the oil pump, you have to pump it up. You have to pump it up through kavana with a status of a ma'isa mitzvah. That's not necessary. Ein tzarech v'dover acher l'shem kvius shmam. And here, I would like to analyze with you footnote number 59. So once again, we'll have to turn back to Lamed Aleph. The Rav in his discussion here about mitzvah srichas kavana and specifically what's the shitas Rambam, he quotes the Ran in the third perek of Rosh Hashanah, which is number 2 in the main text on page Lamed Aleph. The Ran quotes the Rambam regarding shofar, which seems to imply the mitzvah strichas kavana, and yet the Rama Midilchus Chometzu Maksa, Kafu Lechel Maksa, Yatza, which implies the mitzvahs ain't strichas kavana. So the Ran postulates that according to the Rambam, mitzvahs strichas kavana. In other words, the Rambam in Shofar is the revealing text of the Rambam. What about the Rambam in Maksa? After all, I was forced to eat Maksa, I had no intention, no motivation to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Ran is Mechadesh, and I think Rashi also in Rosh Hashanah would be almost identical to the Ran. I'm not sure why the Rav needs the Ran so much. Rashi says it, that Matzah is different. What makes Matzah different? Because there's an Achila which defines the mitzvah. Says the Ran, we have a principle that Achila gets a special status in halacha. Where do we see this? And basically, it's not just achil, it's any anos haguf. This is the famous universal principle of misasek bechalovim varayos chayov shekein nene. Ribono Shel Olam, what's going on over here? He doesn't have kavana to violate the avera, and yet he's chayov. For example, let's say he eats chalev, and he thinks it's shuman. Does he have to bring a karmel chatos? What's the answer? Yeah. You bet. What do you mean I have to bring a karmel chatos? Why do I have to bring a karmel chatos? This is a classical case of misasek. I had no awareness of the fact that I was eating chalev. I thought I was eating shuman. a man, I don't know, whatever the case may be, he has relations with a woman that he thinks is his wife, and it turns out to be an erva. He had no intention whatsoever. He rolled on, it was a mistake. That's called misasik. He's got to bring a carbon. He's considered to have violated the aver. Why shekein nene? In other words, says the Rav, normally misasik is mafkia the maisa avera. It's not your maisa avera. But in a case where you have hana from the avera, there's an actual physical benefit and enjoyment, pleasure that you derive from the avera, that sets up the maisa as a maisa avera in a bona fide way, such that I don't need your kavana. And therefore you chayev. The flip side is mitzvahs. What happens if you have a mitzvah, the essence of which is hana? For example, the achila of matzah. In such a case, you would apply, says the Ran, the rule of shekein nene, to set up the maisa mitzvah. As a maisa mitzvah, I don't need kavana. And therefore the Rambam holds that matzah, as opposed to all other mitzvahs, even without kavana yoyotze. So again, according to the Ran, the shitas haRambam universally is that mitzvahs, tzrichos kavana. The paradigm of that is the Rambam in Shofar. The only exception, says the Ran, is the case of matzah, because the maisa achila of matzah is significant in and of itself, even without your kavana. And what gives it the significance of the maisa mitzvah? The fact that you're nehene. And this is further proof to the Rav's understanding of mitzvah srichas kavana. Mitzvah srichas kavana means I need kavana to generate the Torah's maisa mitzvah. If I have a significant maisa mitzvah in and of itself, that means I don't need kavana to generate the status of a maisa mitzvah, then I'm yotze even without kavana. And that, according to the Ran, is the case of matzah. So the Rav wants to know in footnote 59, which I find absolutely fascinating, what happens on the first night of Sukkos when I have a mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah? Now, how is the first night different than all the other nights of Sukkos? Do you remember this discussion? Manishtana.
So even if it rains, you have to wait till later.
Well, all right, that's already, you're a step ahead of me, but just, you know,
there's a chiyuv to eat.
Correct. There's a chiyuv to eat in Sukkah the first night, similar to the chiyuv to eat what? Matz on the first night. Tesvav, tesvav. No. So just like there's a mitzvah chiyuv of the first night of Pesach, except that's in matzah, so too, a mirror image, there's a mitzvah achil on the first night of Sukkot. Not matzah. You want to eat matzah, that's okay. You have to eat a kezayis, that's fine. But where do you have to eat it? In the Sukkot. So, if you hold like the Ran, in his interpreting the Shitas HaRam and the mitzvahs, Einom Tzrichos Kavanah in the mitzvahs achila, then we should apply the same rule and say that just like in matzah you could be yotzi without kavana, so too in sukkah on the first night you could be yotzi without kavana, which is okay, except for the fact that the Aruch Laner, who's also the author of Bikur Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, do you ever hear of him? Oh, he was his mamish a genius. He was a German Jew. He was probably the Rebbe or the most influential personality in Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch in the, I mean, just to tell you how broad-minded the man was, he had to leave the university in Germany in 1820 because of anti-Semitism. He was studying philosophy, and he had to leave. But he didn't leave because, you know, he didn't like philosophy. He left because they didn't like Jews. I mean, German anti-Semitism is very ancient. I mean, not as ancient as the Brits. I mean, the Brits invented anti-Semitism. Anyway, okay, that's a different story. But if you take a look at footnote 59, so this is what Rav Moshe asked Rav Chaim about whether or not the first kezayis of achila in Sukkah on the first night of Sukkot requires kavana, and Rav Chaim used to say that it does require kavana. Why? If the Rambam holds that kezayis of matz on the first night of Pesach doesn't require kavana, and the way the Ran explains it, because the mice is a mice and mitzvah unto itself because of the hanah that he has from the achilas matzah, so the same logic should apply by parallel to the case of the first kezayis of achila and sukkah on the first night of Sukkot. Ah, says Reb Chaim, look at the bottom of page Lamed Aleph. I'm so fascinated by this chiddush of Reb Chaim. He says, achilas matzah He be etzem chalosa v'kiyuma umaisa mitzvasa. Oh boy, that's what I call a take a deep brisker breath before you say that, you know. Right, be etzem chalosa v'kiyuma umaisa mitzvasa. Mitzvah shalachi. In other words, we define the essence of the mitzvah as a maisa achiyuma, and therefore it doesn't require a kavan. Masha'en ken achiyus kizayis besukah. It's a whole different mitzvah. Fundamentally, it's different than achilus matzah. Af al gavdi alfin in chove zutes vav tesomi chaga matzahs. Nevertheless, the essence of the mitzvah, the chaloisa mitzvah, is not achila, but rather what? Yeshiva besukkah. It says shivas yomim, but besukkah's teshu shivas yomim. It doesn't say achila. Nowhere in the Torah does it say it. It says in matzah, it says be'erev tochlu matzahs. By equation, through the Gzeres Shavuot of Tesvav Tesvav, we derive that Sukkah on the first night requires an achila, just like achilas matzah is required on the first night of Pesach. But the mitzvah itself is not achila. Nowhere does the Torah command us to eat. The Torah commands us to dwell in the Sukkah. How do we dwell in the Sukkah? Well, there are 50 million possibilities. But on the first night of Sukkahs, the Torah prescribes one particular method of yeshiva besukkah, and that is achila. But the achila is not the mitzvah per se. The achila is only a means to an end. And what's the end? Yeshiva. What defines the kiyum mitzvah? Yeshiva besukkah. Say it out loud, Chaim. Yeshiva besukkah. You're on tape.
So I don't want to be alone.
This way you'll be famous. Look. Says Reb Chaim, mitzvahs yeshiva sukkah miskayemes b'leil rishon rak. There's only one possible mode of fulfilling this mitzvah. Yidei achilas kezayish yichova. No other way.
Sleeping
is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah. I mean, again, you'll get the mitzvah of sukkah, but that you can do any night of sukkahs. But the particular unique mitzvah that's obligatory on the first night can only be fulfilled through what? Through achila. Therefore, says the Rav, kiyuma shel mitzvah sukkah hilo. Right? So l'chori you would say the mitzvah is achila, but says the Rav, no. It's the achila that's enjoined, and it's the Torah prescribes achila and requires achila, but that's not the kiyuma mitzvah. Yeah, it's so easy to be misled, says Rav Chaim. You look at the mitzvah on a very superficial external level, you think that you identify the mitzvah essentially as achila, and that's not so. It's true that the Torah obliges you to eat, but that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is yeshiva. You see, this is a case. Remember I told you before at the beginning of tonight's discussion that there are two parts to every mitzvah. There's the Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyuma mitzvah. And usually they go hand in hand. But on rare occasions, the Maisa mitzvah is separate from the Kiyuma mitzvah. For example, if I would tell you about shofar, what's the Maisa mitzvah in shofar? One could argue that blowing the shofar is the Maisa mitzvah. One could argue. But the Kiyuma mitzvah is Shmiya. I'll give you another example. You know, we're coming up soon. You know, once we turn the corner on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, I already start thinking of the 3 weeks, which is the mitzvah of Avelus. Now, if you take a look at the mitzvah of Avelus, you'll find that the mitzvah of Avelus is the flip side. It's the, you know, menakotza lakotza. It's the exact opposite of another mitzvah that we have in the Torah. Namely what? Simcha, correct? So you have Simcha on one extreme, one polar extreme, and you have Avelus on the other polar extreme. The oddity is, and the Rav used to point this out all the time, that there's so many parallels between the two. It's almost like Almighty God is playing with the human soul, the human spirit, you know, from Simcha to Avelus, and such parallels. The structure of Simcha and the structure of Avelus, especially in the case of Simcha's Chasa V'Kala, is almost a mirror image, one of the other. And the Rav used to pontificate on this and expand on this in philosophically about the vulnerability of man, and so forth. We won't get into that. But what I wanted to point out to you is that one very fundamental equation between Simcha on the one extreme and Avelus on the other is that in both of these mitzvahs, the Maisa mitzvah is separate and independent of the Kiyuma mitzvah. I'll give you an example of what I mean. What would you say about a Jew on Yontif who eats the finest steaks that you can offer him? What are those things called here in Canada? They eat those ribs. You know what I'm talking about? What do they call them? The tzla'ot. You know those little ribs? Miami. Everybody eats
Miami
them.
Miami ribs.
That's what they call them? Miami ribs? They should call them Torontonian ribs. I don't know. I think we should object and change the name. All right. So you eat these wonderful, wonderful ribs, right? And you're in a bad mood. Chas v'shalom. Would you say that such a person fulfilled the mitzvah of simcha? The Gemara says, "Ain't simcha elba b'basa v'yayin." The man eats the best steaks, the best meats, drinks the finest wines, but tutum vein levin. You know, he's not in a good mood. What would you say about such a person? The Rav used to always say that such a person missed the boat, because the ma'isa mitzvah of achila of basa and shtias yayin on yontif is only a ma'isa mitzvah. It's not the kima mitzvah. It's meant to and designed to bring the person into a state of simcha. In the case of Avelus, on the flip side, if a person observes all the Yud Aleph Isurei Avel, but he's in a great mood, you know, wow, you know, the man killed over, I'm very happy about it, right? So in such a case, right, I'm saying it's very tragic, but I'm trying to make it into a comedy in the Shakespearean sense, you know, right, Shechiyonu, right, yeah, he yarshined his father, right, but so in such a case, he has not obtained the mitzvah of avelus. The mitzvah of avelus is a kiyum shebalev. It requires an emotional state of avelus. It has to be very well defined. What is avelus and what's avelus chadasha, you know, for one of the seven korban? What's avelus yishana for korban? But whatever it is, it's a state of being. And the Rav claims that Rav Chaim understood that in the case of achila besukkah on the first night, you can split between the Maisa Mitzvah of Achila and the Kiyum Mitzvah of Yeshiva. The Maisa Mitzvah is Achila, but the Achila is only a means to an end. It's a vehicle to achieve the goal. What is the goal? What is the name of the baby? What's the Mitzvah? Yeshiva Besuk. Therefore, says the Rav, insofar as Yeshiva Besuk is not an Achila, the Halachas of Achila, for example, that Mitzvah's Ein Tzrichas Kavon in the case of Achila, Rabbah Ben Matzah says Kafu Lechol Matzah, Yotzah. That would not apply, says Reb Chaim, on the first night of Sukkot. And therefore, Reb Chaim would give a bang on the table on the first night of Sukkot and says, everybody have to have kavana for the mitzvah of Sukkot. By the way, as I mentioned earlier, the Aruch HaNer goes a step further, and he claims it's not enough, it's not sufficient to have kavana l'shem mitzvah on the first night of Sukkot. You also have to have kavana for the Anani Akova, right, Laman Yedu Dorasechim Ki Besukas Hoshafti is Bnei Yisrael, that too is part and parcel of the essence of the mitzvah of Sukkah. Interesting is footnote number 60, the Rav quotes his maternal grandfather, Rabbi Eliyahu Feinstein, who is also known as the Prussian Rav, there was a town in Litha called Prussian, and he was the Rav in that town. And he wrote a sefer called Halichos Eliyahu. And there, he analyzes the Rashbam, who says that Afilu l'man the Yom HaMitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana mikomakom im mechavein lehepuch lo yotza. Do you remember this? This is a famous Rashbam. And the Rabbeinu Yonah also agrees with Rashbam, Rabbeinu Yonah in Brochus, that if you have a negative kavana, kavana shalolotzeis, then even if you hold mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, you're not yotze. And the Shagas Aryeh really attacked this chiddush of this position of the Rashbam. The Shagas Aryeh, you should know, was a real bold person. He would argue with Rishonim. And he said he doesn't understand in the Gemara in Erevin, when the Gemara says that you cannot wear both pairs of tefillin at the same time because mitzvahs ain tzrichas kavana. So he says, all right, so mitzvahs ain tzrichas kavana, but why not have kavana shelo latzeis? In other words, if you're carrying tefillin in such a way that if you have no kavana whatsoever, if your brain is empty, so you'll violate Baal Tosif, why not say that he has a negative kavana, or at least encourage him to have a negative kavana, a kavana shelo latzeis? And then every man d'yomer could agree that you can carry, wear both pairs of tefillin simultaneously. So if you take a look at about line 7 in footnote 60, he says, Amarti liyashev, he wants to answer the argument, the objection of the Shagas Aryeh against the Rashbam. He says, Dulachora taima boy heich, Hech tolu zebaze dilma bebaltosiv lo shayach lekuli alma kavana latzeis fellow be'emes ein kan mitzvah el al korch tzarch lomar to lemad yom mitzvah tzriches kavona bichlal mitzvah hatorah shetzivso lasos ha mitzvah gam hakavona hi mipartei asiyas ha mitzvah. Okay, you'll read the text on your free time because I want to get on to Dal. I'll just summarize what he wants to suggest to answer the kash of the Turi Evan. He says the following. If you hold mitzvah ain't tzriches kavona, then the mice of mitzvah is spontaneously generated. You don't need kavana to create a ma'isa mitzvah. So what happens in the case of a kavana shalolot? If he has a negative kavana. So the breakthrough here is that if he has kavana shalolot, why isn't he yotze? That's a different halacha. That's not halacha in the ma'isa mitzvah. The ma'isa mitzvah, as we said, is self-generated. But there's another halacha that we can't force a kiyuma mitzvah down someone's throat against his will. If a person says, I don't want this kiyuma mitzvah, then we don't coerce him to accept the kiyum ha-mitzvah. And therefore, here the condition is in the kiyum ha-mitzvah. What undermines the kiyum ha-mitzvah, if you hold mitzvah saying tzrichas kavana, but he has a kavana shel olatzeis, is the halacha of ein kiyum ha-mitzvah bal karcho shel adam. You can't force a kiyum ha-mitzvah down someone's throat. So that's not going to help us with Bal Tosif. Because again, if our yesod, if our premise is that Bal Tosif is violated whenever you have a ma'isa mitzvah, that adds to the mitzvah ha-Torah. So you're wearing two pairs of tefillin instead of one. That action, if it's defined as a ma'isa mitzvah, engenders the violation of Bal Tosif, even if you yourself are not yotze. So even if I hold mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana, but kavana shelo latzeis undermines the mitzvah, there still, nevertheless, would be a violation of Bal Tosif, because what does Kavanah Shel Olatzeis do for me? Does it change anything? Does it impact on the Ma'isa Mitzvah? Not at all. The Ma'isa Mitzvah is self-generated, because Mitzvah ain't Tzrichas Kavanah. The halacha of Kavanah Shel Olatzeis is an objection in the Kiyuma Mitzvah. You know, it's like you bat and you hit the ball, and then there's the catcher who catches the ball. So you can bat the ball even if you're not interested in the mitzvah. And that's called a ma'isa mitzvah. But now you have to receive the kiyuma mitzvah. You say, I don't want to receive the kiyuma mitzvah. We can't force it down his throat. But as far as Bal Tosif is concerned, all we need is what? Is the ma'isa mitzvah. The Rav used to tell us about his maternal grandfather, Rav Elia Pruzhina, that he knew Shas Oisavenik Mila B'Mila. Word for word. So my father told me that he came from a shtetl called Plisa in Vilna, and he told me that there was a Jew in Plisa who knew Shas Eisenvenik Mila B'Mila. Who is he? I don't know. Nobody ever heard of him. Plisa was a shtetl that had 70 families in it, 70 Jewish families. That's it. You know, to just get a picture of what Torah was like in Europe in that time, maybe we didn't have the thousands of yeshiva students that we have today, but the dedication to Torah learning was phenomenal. And because Rav Elia Pruzhina was so well versed in Shas, I mean, Shas was like in front of his eyes, he had a more comprehensive view of Shas. When his mechutin, Reb Chaim, because Reb Elia Pruzhina's daughter was married to Reb Chaim's son, when Reb Elia heard of the Torah of Reb Chaim was a very big revolutionary, and he conceptualized the whole Derech HaLimud, so he said, I don't understand Reb Chaim, he said, about his mechutin. And he said, Ich bin, about himself, he says, Ich bin far Matan Torah. In other words, that Reb Chaim is a new Matan Torah, and I came before Matan Torah. That's what he used to say. All right, now we get on to page Lamed Gimel, section Dalet. Are you ready for this? You remember, perhaps, that most of the Rav Shia, this Yard Sashia, was about the mitzvah of Zechiras, Yitzias, Mitzrayim. Rabbeinu Yonah has a very unique shita regarding Zechiras, Yitzias, Mitzrayim, and it's nogea to us at least once a week at this time of the year, when we daven, well, for those who daven early Shabbos, right? So if you're at the 7 o'clock meeting tomorrow, and they're going to announce that you have to read Kriyat Shema at 9:48 or whatever time it is, right? So keep this Rabbeinu Yonah in mind. Because Rabbeinu Yonah says that that halacha that requires Lila, that only applies to two parshias of Kriyat Shema, but not to the third parsha. Why? because he says the third parsha is generated by the mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because we paskin like Ben Zoma and like Prabhulaz Ben Azariah, that when it says in the Apostle on Tizkos Yom Tzeischa, Kol Yimei Chayech, what's the kol coming to include? Laila. That you even need Laila. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Laila starts with Shkia Sachama. In other words, if you read Kriyat Shema after Shkia, then says Rabbeinu Yonah, you may have to repeat the first two parashiyos of Kriyat Shema after Tzeis HaKochom to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, but there's no need to read the third parasha of Kriyat Shema, Vayomer, because you fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Wait a minute, did I say that wrong? I think I just said that wrong. Let me go over it one more time. You were nice to me and you didn't correct me. Okay. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, you have to repeat Kriyat Shema, the first two parashios, because Kriyat Shema is Bishal Bechaz requires Laila, and you recited Kriyat Shema after Shkia before Tzeis. However, says Rabbeinu Yonah, there's no need to repeat the third parash of Kriyat Shema, because what mitzvah are you fulfilling in the third parash of Kriyat Shema? The mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. That mitzvah you fulfilled after Shkia. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, this you'll see on line 6. Afal pi she'eno laila, even though it's not yet laila mamish, mipnei shelo yatsu hakochavim, afilu hachi, says Rabbeinu Yonah, kevin she'shaka chama, the sun is set. Now, underline these words, vavi laila le'inyan tefila shel arvis, kiddel come on. We'll see this later, that you can already daven ma'ariv after when? Yeah. After Shkia, so too, you can recite the Birchas Kriyat Shema with Gal Yisrael, which is Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the third parish of Kriyat Shema, even though it's not Laila, because it's after Shkia. And what's the significance of Shkia? Shkia engenders the Laila as far as what? Tefillah. And since it's Laila as far as Tefillah, therefore it's Laila as far as what? Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. He says, Hafilu hachi. Kaman shalom. Why is Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim different than every other mitzvah? Every other mitzvah of Laila requires Tzeis. He says, Kevan shalola manu Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim ba Laila elami ribui. What does ribui mean?
The addition.
Yeah, and not what? What's the flip side, the opposite of a ribui?
Yeah.
The opposite of a ribui is leheja, you know, something that's mefurish b'kra. He says, nowhere does the Torah say explicitly that you're required to remember the redemption from Egypt at night. It's only derived from a ribui. Which ribui?
Kol.
Kol yimei chayecha. Ein ksiv shom laila b'feirish. Doesn't say laila explicitly. Elami yitur, this is Rabbeinu Yonah. Elami yitur kol bilvad darshinan le. Therefore, lo chayshina, we're not worried, im ein omer mosa b'layla mamish. And once again, he repeats himself, kevin shalailahu le'inyan tefilas arvis, lailahu le'azkir yitzias Mitzrayim. Ad kan. This is the quote from Rabbeinu Yonah. Let's just summarize Rabbeinu Yonah. Even if you recited Kriyat Shema before Tzeis HaKochavim, so it's too early for the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema uvkumech uvishal b'cha, and therefore you're going to have to repeat Kriyat Shema later on after Yitzias Mitzrayim. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's only as far as the first two parashas, but as far as the third parasha, which is engendered by the mitzvah of what of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, you don't need Tzeis HaKochavim. Why not? Because you don't need Laila Mamish. Laila Mamish we need for all other mitzvahs, but not for the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why is the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim different? Because there's no pasuk in the Torah that says Laila with regard to Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Torah says Levan Tiska Yitzias Kol Yemei Chayecha. Yemei Chayecha is Yomim, and Kol comes for a ribui of Laila. Since it's not Leheja, it's not Mefurish in the pasuk, therefore you can say it at a point in which, although it's not Laila for all mitzvahs HaTorah, it's before it says, it's Laila as far as Ma'ariv is concerned. When does Ma'ariv set in? After Shkia Sachamo. So the Shagas Aryeh raises three objections to Rabbeinu Yonah. As I told you before, The Shari is not someone who's embarrassed. You know, Shemtzuknish. He'll cross swords with Rishonim. The first question that he asks is, what does the Rabbeinu Yonah mean that since it doesn't say Laila Beferush regarding Yetzias Mitzrayim, we only derive from a Ribui, therefore we could be Yotze the Mitzvah even before it's nightfall? At the time of Tfilas Arvis, so what? What difference does it make whether you derive it from Laila or you derive it from a Ribui of Kol? That's question number one. Question number two, he doesn't understand the connection of the halacha of Plaga Mincha, which is halacha that's exactly when the Talmid Shel Bein Arbaim was brought, even though, strictly speaking, after Chatzos Yom, I mean, in the middle of the day, you could bring, you may have to wait till what's called not too slowly Erev, but you could bring the Korban Talmid Shel Bein Arbaim. But Lamais and the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't bring the Korban Talmid Shel Bein Arbaim until Plag HaMincha. And based on this halacha of the Talmid Shel Bein Arbaim, which is at the time of Plag HaMincha, according to Rabbi Yehuda against the Chachamim, you can engender a zman for Tfilas Arvis. Says the Shagasari, I don't understand. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about Zmane Tfila. He's talking about Zman Mincha, and he's talking about Tfilas Arvis. And his premise is that Zman Mincha is a reflection of the Karban Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim. This is what we call Tfilas Keneged Karbanos Tiknu. Arvis is engendered by the Sof Zman Mincha. There's no middle slot of time, which is Beini Ubeini, doesn't belong here or there. There's no twilight zone. So as soon as the Zman of Mincha terminates, the Zman of Ma'ariv begins. And therefore, he nicha tfilas arvis atluya b'yitzias zman tfilas mincha shichol le'omer achar plaga mincha l'divri Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, Ma'ariv, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is reflected at an early time, after Plaga Mincha, because Mincha sets up Ma'ariv, meaning whenever Mincha terminates, Ma'ariv begins. Baram, however, Yetzias Mitzrayim is dependent upon Laila. So what connection does it have to Plaga Mincha? Now, Rabos, I have to tell you, I don't begin to understand the second Kasha of Shagas Aryeh, because Rabbeinu Yonah says explicitly that he read Kriyat Shema after Shkia. So I don't know exactly how the Shagas Aryeh made this jump. I think the Rav is going to point this out, if I'm not mistaken, on the next page. From Shkia to Plaga Mincha. I don't know exactly how he equated the two. And his third question is that the famous Gemara in Brachos Chav Zayin, Hashlo Itmar Hilchus Alo Kemar Velo Kemar, is the Ovid Kemar Ovid. The Omer Kemar Ovid means that Lamaisa, you can do either way. You have two choices. And the Chachamim were maker with regard to Tfilas Mincha and Tfilas Arvis, that you can do it in both directions. You could take the sheet of Mincha Ma'ariv of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore you could daven Ma'ariv early, but at the same time you could take the sheet of the Chachamim and you could daven Mincha later than Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to do. However, all those kulos, which allow you to shift Zmanim back and forth, they only apply to Tfilah, which is a drabonah. So the Chachamim, Heimomer Veheimomer, they could be maker, they could be lenient in Zmanei Tfilah. But Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So how do we have any room for leniency to allow you to recite, in this case, Parshas Vayomer, and fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim at a time when it's not Laila? So the Rav uses a pun over here. Tmini, you'll see it's the bottom of Lamed Gimel Ha'ari Hachai. You know, Ari Hachai usually refers to a Gadol B'Yisrael who's alive. Or maybe dead, but he's alive. It's like he's alive, but it's interesting. He uses this for the Shagas Aryeh. He says he doesn't understand how he missed up on the Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah and misinterpreted it with regard to Zman Mincha V'Arvis. In Tfilas HaShachar, and in the words of Rabbeinu Yonah here in the first parak of Brachos, that with regard to Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim, In other words, the Rav is accusing the Shagas Aryeh of accusing the Rabbeinu Yonah of something that Rabbeinu Yonah never said. Because according to Rabbeinu Yonah, Tfilas Mincha, even according to the Rabbanon, terminates with Shkiyas HaChama. And even though we haven't arrived at Yitzias Kochavim, nevertheless the Zman for Tfilas Mincha has terminated. And therefore, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, there's no doubt that once the time for Mincha is terminated, the time for Arvis begins. And he can recite Arvis immediately after the sun sets. This has nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda. This is correct even according to the Rabbanan. The Shagas Aryeh somehow assumed that the Zmani Tefillah after Shkia, meaning that Shkia terminates Mincha and engenders the time for Ma'ariv, the Shagas Aryeh assumes that depends upon Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rabbanan would not allow that. And then the Shagas Aryeh says, we'll allow you to go both ways because of the Kula of Kemar Ovid and Kemar Ovid. But nevertheless, the Rav says, this is not true. If you learn Rabbeinu Yonah carefully in two places, you'll see that even according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda, the time of Mincha terminates with Shkia, and that's exactly when the time of Ma'ariv begins. Rabbeinu Yonah's whole focus here is on someone who read Kriyat Shema after Shkia Sachama. So the Shagas Aryeh's objection against Rabbeinu Yonah is not fair, and it's not well grounded in the language of Rabbeinu Yonah. And furthermore, Rabbeinu Yonah says, when he deals with Kriyat Shema with Birchos Kriyat Shema in the shul, based on the Yushalmi, he's not talking about Kriya after Plaga Mincha. He's explicitly referring to Kriyas Shema after Shkia. And the Rav quotes Rabbeinu Yonah verbatim, Yesh Lomer, this is the language of Rabbeinu Yonah, Afal Pishen Alayla Mamish, we read this before, Mipnei Shlo Yotzu HaKochavim Afilu Hochi Kevin Sheshoka HaChama Vavi Layla Linyan Tfilas Arvis. The Rav pointed out that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that's true, even according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda. Hachinami Danina Leilayla Lekriyas HaBrochos, and for the mitzvah of Zechiris Yisrael Kain, there's no zika, there's no connection between Rabbeinu Yonah's chiddush about Parshas Vayomer following Shkia and the machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Kuliyama lo pligi, everybody agrees that the time for Ma'ariv is engendered with Shkia because that's when the time for Mincha terminates. And that's three lines before the end of this paragraph. He says, Kuli Alma, everybody agrees that Maschila and Arvis, immediately following Shkia Sachama, we don't wait until Tzeisa Kochavim. So during that period of time, Rabbeinu Yonah says, you could be Yotzi Yachiyuv of Zachiris Yitzis Mitzrayim. But notice that the Rav, at least at this point, hasn't yet addressed the main issue, and that is, what does Rabbeinu Yonah mean by hanging his jacket on this peg, that since the halacha and the mitzvah of Zechir Sinsar and Belaila is derived from kol, from a ribui in the pasuk, but not from an explicit pasuk, why does that allow me to implement the Zman Tefillah of Arvis and drop the ball on the Zman of Laila as far as all mitzvahs is concerned, which requires Tzeis HaKochav? What time is Mincha? Do we have another? 5:02. All right. So you know what? All I'm going to do in the next 2 minutes is just introduce the next section, which is section He. This is the part that I told you before at the beginning of the Shia is very abstract. And basically what the Rav says in a nutshell, I mean, we're going to have to analyze this very carefully, is that when we define day and night, Yom and Laila, as two halachic concepts, there are two different standards by which we define the difference between day and night. And this is in the paragraph on the bottom of page Lamed Daleh that starts with the word Levaseis. And the Rambam, and the Rav says that according to the Rambam, there are two different definitions of Yom and Laila. One definition of Yom v'Laila is defined by Amud HaShachar and Tzeis HaKochavim. There's another definition of Yom v'Laila that is defined by Hanetz HaChama and Shkia. We're going to see in the Shitas HaGon, the famous Shitas HaGra, that with regard to Tefillah, with regard to Kriyat Shema, and with regard to many other mitzvos, the definition of Yom and Laila is reflected in Hanetz HaChama and Shkia. Whereas the Magen Avraham consistently, in all cases, applies a different definition of Yom V'Layla, in which Yom is engendered by Amud HaShachar, and Layla begins with Teis HaKochavim. But the Rav is going to make a big pitch for the Gaon Shita, and he's going to explain that the Gaon himself accepts the fundamental premise that Yom begins with Amud HaShachar and Layla begins with Tzeis, but only with regard to what he calls the Shem Layla and the Shem Yom. But with regard to Shi'urei Layla, when we break up the day into its smaller component parts, then we have a whole different definition, a standard for Yom and Layla, in which Yom is engendered by Hanetz HaChama, and Yom ends with Shkia. Notice everything depends upon the astronomy of the sun, the movement of sunrise and sunset. Okay, we'll stop here. Ishkael, thank you for joining us.
I told you to have a discussion of the Baal Zalman Shemayim, the first sentence of Shema Yisrael.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fascinating that there is a sign of that that's the kavanah you meant to have in the very first word of Shema, which is Shin Mem Ayin, which is Rosh Tevis, Olmach Shemayim backwards.
Wow, interesting. Cool. Beautiful.
The first word to tell you that's the kavanah you meant to have.